This RFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Well, welcome to White Space.
Welcome to another week or two.
Another two.
News from space.
Yeah, and what's happening around the universe?
Well, what's happening around the universe? First of all, we've just witnessed another launch attempt from
SpaceX.
Which didn't go so well.
Yeah, so there was Flight 9 of the Super Heavy booster and Starship, so that's the bit that sticks on the top. And they're both really, really big rockets. I mean, these rockets are absolutely enormous. So Starship had its... It failed. It blew up in the atmosphere. Though, you know, according to SpaceX, they tested a whole lot of different things. And they were trying to put maximum pressure on the spacecraft. So it was, according to what they're kind of saying, is they were actually trying to break it. So I guess that makes sense. Still, it would have been nice if it landed properly. The cool thing about the launch, though, was the booster, the Super Heavy booster, it's its second flight. And that's pretty amazing. So this is a massive booster. It launched happily into, well, not quite into space, but it launched happily last time. And then it got caught by the tower and the chopsticks that SpaceX have for catching this thing. And it's done it again. So that booster's been up and down and up and down twice. And all they did was replace a couple of the rocket engines between the two flights. So the reusability of such a heavy booster is they're kind of proving that.
So what you're saying is that this disaster is not quite a disaster.
Yeah, it didn't go perfect. And if a spacecraft blows up, that's never a good thing, right? But then they also learn a lot from the blowing up of the spacecraft. And the way that SpaceX has worked right from Falcon 1 to their development Falcon 9 and then through to the Super Heavy and the Starship kind of process they're using to get these things into space. They've had this fast fail kind of process going where they'll really push the boundaries of design, fly it, and if something goes wrong, then they learn from that and they iterate and they get a better one next time. So I can't remember how many failures they had for Falcon 9, but it did drag on for quite a while. And so they're iterating the Super Heavy much, much faster. So, which is good. But the flip side of it is, I mean, why are they going so fast? Is NASA's moon landing had selected SpaceX for that final segment where they land a Starship spacecraft on the moon as that final segment to land people on the moon. So they have yet to develop that spacecraft, yet to put people on the moon. And that's pressing, you know, the deadline for that's coming up. So they want to, if they're going to be part of that, and if they want to meet the sort of plan on putting people back on the moon, then Starship has to work.
Yeah, there's a series that we've been watching called For All Mankind, which I reluctantly decided to watch because I couldn't bear the fact that what in the movie was saying, spoiler alert, Russians got on the moon first. But of course, that's not true. But it was a really interesting
alternate history
of, and I'm finally agreed to watching this, and I'm sitting there watching it. I absolutely love science fiction, so I would watch anything that has rockets in it.
Mm.
And I was thinking, wouldn't it have been amazing if actually people didn't stop going to the moon and kept sending people out there, which also, coincidentally, is the title or the question that drove my research for my master's degree, why we didn't go back to the moon. So it is a very interesting thing to ponder, and I really, really wish people would have kept going to the moon and send rockets there and not just do it for for a silly race, which it was a silly race anyway,
Yeah, competition, yeah.
but do it for exploration and for the spirit that we have as humans, that is curiosity and finding out and breaking new frontiers.
Yeah, which would have been a much better,
Much.
more loftier reason than just to beat the other people.
Which brings me to the next new piece of news that we have, which is not really news anymore. Mark Rocket is going to space.
Yeah, and in fact, by the time that this is on, he may well have been to space.
But we don't really know when yet.
4th of June.
4th of June. That's
Yeah.
fantastic. That's amazing. So
First Kiwi above the Kármán line. So if all goes
cool.
well, yeah, he'll be the first Kiwi up above the 100 kilometers up, which will be amazing.
So when I first heard of him, I heard that he wanted to go with Virgin Galactic, but now he's going
Yeah, Blue Origin.
with Blue Origin, which is well, at least Blue Origin is happening.
Now, isn't it funny? So this is like people are funny, right? We're a funny bunch, us
Are
humans.
we?
Yeah. So when Katy Perry did the same trip, I was a bit, really, you know? But now with Mark
Wait.
Rocket going, I'm like, yeah, that's so cool. Isn't it bizarre, like the hypocrisy of that?
Is it because Katy Perry is a woman and
I don't know, maybe. I don't know. Don't, well, no, I think it's a bit hypocritical of me too. Well, I wasn't overly critical of Katy Perry going up. I think, good on her. She spent the money and off she goes.
Now, to be fair, I was a bit cringed as well, but we do know Mark, and we do know of Mark for a very long time, and what we do know about him is that he's an extraordinarily passionate person who's been always promoting space and always taking the good side of space, and so, and he's the president of Aerospace New Zealand, and so he dedicated his life to space.
Well, he changed his name to
Yeah,
Rocket.
so wow. So you know that when he goes there, it's not going to be it's going to be someone who actually really is really passionate, really wants to go there, and we're all very, very, very happy to know that he's going there. And same thing, when I heard he's going, I was so happy.
And he's actually a really nice person too.
Yeah,
Like,
he's a very
yeah,
nice
like
person.
really personable and chatty. And so as the person running Aerospace New Zealand, we've had a little bit to do with him at different events we've been to, and he's always popped by and said hello. And
Interviewed
yeah,
him in 2011 for the World Space Week, and he was absolutely fabulous. So that's when I met him. And so yeah, very, very cool that he goes to space. Yay! Go New
well, and the
Zealand.
context of him is he and Peter Beck were the ones that set up Rocket Lab way back in the early 2000s. So it was Mark Rocket was working with Peter Beck when they set up Rocket Lab. And of course, they went different ways. Peter Beck obviously stayed with Rocket Lab, and now Rocket Lab is itself building a large rocket to compete with the Falcon 9. So they're competing with SpaceX's Falcon 9 with the Neutron rocket, which they're furiously building and getting to test this year. Actually, another. We mentioned it, Gilmour Space. That's the Australians, of course, trying to lob a rocket into space. Now, they were
Is it
trying
the
to,
Vegemite
yeah,
one?
well, they were trying to launch some Vegemite into space, of course, typically
Bad
Australian.
luck, right?
Yeah. I mean, even space rejected Vegemite.
They
Yeah. But,
should have put Marmite.
yeah, a bit of Marmite would have worked. But, no, it's a bit unkind. Like all sending rockets into space is really hard, very difficult to do. So they were doing a test. They didn't have a fuel load in the rocket or anything like that. But anyway, they're doing a test, and the nose was it the what do you call that thing at the top? The nose cone thing. It's not the nose cone. The thing that covers the payload. Can't remember what it's called. No, anyway, the thing at the top of the rocket fell off, so they had to go and get another one. And then they'll delayed their test of sending their rocket into space. But yeah, what this means, of course, Australia is not far off joining the space race. So they'll be lobbing rockets into space from Australia fairly shortly. And Gilmour Space is the company that started there.
But they have a lot of catch up with us because, according to the statistics, New Zealand is the
Yeah, number three in the world. Yeah.
country at launching rockets.
Yeah.
And how amazing is this? I don't know, 10 years ago, we do not do rockets in space. Now we're being the third most important country in the world to launch rockets, which is very, very cool.
So a few years ago, there was a MBIE, Ministry of Business, Innovation and Enterprise. A bit of a mouthful, that one. They did a study on how big is the aerospace industry in New Zealand.
When was that?
It was pre-COVID, if anyone remembers pre-COVID, you know.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, a new study's been done, and Deloitte was commissioned by the space agency to go and, I think it was the space agency, to go and do this.
Which is
So,
part of MB,
yeah,
which is
it's
the
part
Ministry of Business.
of that's MBI, Innovation and Enterprise. That's the one. The Enterprise.
Enterprise.
So the space market as of 2024, because they use data from 2024. Anyway, they issued this report. It's so 53% growth since 2019. So that's the New Zealand space industry, when you think.
Wow.
So it's grown by half as much again, which is pretty huge. Excuse me. And so that's about 8.9% year-on-year growth, which is pretty amazing.
Wow.
And that's far more than the value of our house in Carterton, isn't it? Yeah. Maybe it's saving up for a really big increase. So space manufacturing is worth $402 million in New
What's space
Zealand. We're
manufacturing?
making stuff to go in space. Space applications. So this is
What space applications?
like ones you put on your phone. No, it's not. It's so all the associated things with space. So it's the use of space, data coming back down, all that sort of stuff. $1.277 billion. I mean, that's pretty huge,
Is
right?
that more than the Sauvignon Blanc?
Well, I can't remember now. So that's not sales. This is the application, so stuff,
Right.
yeah, and the economic activity.
I'll stop asking silly questions.
Yes, you stick to good questions. $110 million for education, training, and R&D.
That's pretty amazing. That's our pot.
We actually contribute to, well, not 110 million, of course, but a little tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of that 110 million was a little bit that we filled out in the survey for this thing. So there'll be about $30 that we've added to the space industry there. That's not 30 million, that's $30. We've got ancillary services, that's 188 million. That's stuff like, the big dishes down south that collect the data from the European Space Agency, that stuff. Space operations, $597 million.
In New Zealand.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
So the total estimated revenue of the New Zealand space sector in 2024 was $2.68 billion.
Wow. That is extraordinary.
Yeah. And the total economic contribution, 2.47 billion. Now that's a bit less than the amount that came in. So someone's pocketed a bit of that. Yeah. No, I'm sure the economists know how to work that, not me. So the advanced aviation market's about another $500 million on top of that. So what we're looking at is the New Zealand aerospace industry, or New Zealand aerospace sector, is just sitting over $3 billion industry in New Zealand, which is amazing. Now, so this is the really cool thing, though, is 7,000 people are directly employed in the space sector in New Zealand. 7,000 people.
That's nothing. That's two crews, two. So just to give an example, the people who worked on Perseverance rover, Curiosity rover, there
Yeah.
were 3,500 people.
Yes, but this is a country whose population is smaller than a suburb of Los Angeles.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So like the whole team of Curiosity was
Yeah.
half the number of people who work in space industry in New Zealand.
Yeah, but I mean, but for people in New Zealand looking for vocational pathways into
Yeah, space
advanced
future.
aviation stress, this
I think
is
that's for
huge.
so long.
So 10,000 people are employed indirectly in the space industry. So this is like working for,
So where did ESG
subcontractors.
go? Because this is one of the questions that we get so often and it's so annoying. Where did the money go when you pay to work in the space industry or when space stuff is happening?
Well, so you build a rocket, you charge someone some money to launch a satellite, They give you a wad of cash, and that's what you use to build, well, develop your next rocket.
So, does any of this money go to space?
I presume they're not going to the bank and getting cash out and popping that in next to the payload. Is that
Yeah, imagine that.
what you mean?
Well, because you know, there's
sending $100 notes up into space.
this
No.
undercurrent of people who are getting upset about the fact that space is getting all these money that are being spent in space rather than here on Earth. And yeah, I just wanted to mention that
Well, there's no shops in
none
space.
of these
Yeah, no, there's no
yeah
shops in space. So all the money is spent on Earth.
yet.
Yeah. Maybe one day there'll be a shop in space. I don't know. Do they do any financial transactions in the space station?
Isn't that the GPS thing? Isn't that how banks do things?
No, that's just the timing signal. I wonder if they like, if they say the American astronauts like sell stuff to the Russian astronauts or
From
not.
space.
Yeah, up in the space station.
Yeah, that'd be a, that's a good point. We should ask them.
They probably don't. Well, they're probably not allowed to take any money, I think. Maybe they barter food and stuff.
Yeah. So it's really awesome that Mark Rocket goes to space because this year the theme for the World Space Week, which is a yearly celebration of space achievements and the all of the technology that we get from space exploration, the theme this year is living in space. How amazing is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's cool living in space. You always wonder, like, because when I was a kid, I always thought, oh, it'll be like 20 years and we'll be living on space stations. It'll be like really cool.
And nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. We're still not living in space
In a
stations.
parallel reality
Yeah.
on that movie that I was mentioning.
And you remember, like, all those old pictures they'd have in magazines, like from the 70s and stuff? They had these great graphics of these enormous space stations, big ring things, and they had, like, rivers and fields and trees
I don't
growing in
think we
them.
had that in communist Romania. We were not allowed to think that far.
Well, the decadent West had these, though.
So no, but yeah, no, we actually did have an astronaut in 1981 went to space, which was pretty amazing. A cosmonaut stayed on in space for 7 days and then came back to Earth.
And we met him in Vienna.
We met him in Vienna,
Yeah.
yeah, but we
Well, you
met
already knew
her.
it. You already knew it.
I knew, yeah, I have a picture, a postcard from of him. But we never kind of like thought about living in space, and it was the domain of only the very, very few. And I think the most wonderful thing about today and having all these flights, and even you know, let Katy Perry go to space. I have actually a colleague of ours in a
At least she wasn't singing.
He was actually he took her side, Graham. He took her side because he said, when you go to space, the experience that you get going to space is an awe. And everybody comes from space transformed. So hopefully it's true. Hopefully all these people who go up there in space, who are all these millionaires, bazillionaires, come back transformed and they see how amazing planet Earth is. And how futile everything is unless there is peace here on Earth and collaboration, and maybe they can do something more about keeping, I don't know, helping around that than they would. Though I would think that whoever buys the ticket to go to space, they would go to space because they would want to, because they're at least a little bit passionate about space.
Well,
So I'm sure Katy Perry must be liking space, even though a little bit, because otherwise she wouldn't have
so
been
the,
there.
but, the, but this is the reality of the world we live in. So we can always moan and whinge about it, but the reality is, like the kids today, they're bombarded with the celebrity culture, right? So they see all these celebrities, and that's who they look to as a lot of role models. And we can sit there and whinge about it and go, "Oh, in my day it was so much better." Well, no, not really. We were just idolized rugby players, which was the same thing, really. We didn't idolize Rutherford or, Roy Kerr
Roy
or,
Kerr, yeah.
yeah, or, famous scientists and mathematicians. But we did, or Beatrice Tinsley and, but we idolized, sports people. So it's no surprise then that, when we go around a lot of schools, the kids are saying, to us. Oh, Katy Perry went to space. Katy Perry went to space, and they've found that inspiring. They've found that it's something really cool. And these are kids that would never have thought about space, but all of a sudden they do, because one of their celebrity idols has gone into space. So that's a good thing. That's a really good thing for, well, women in STEM for one, because it's the young girls who are really into it. Not so many of the boys are overly interested in Katy Perry going to space. But you know, I think that's probably on the balance a good thing.
Yeah, no, it is a good thing. And space does change you, and hopefully everybody who comes back to Earth comes back as a new person, as a nicer person, better person than how it was when they went up. And so
So we've been we had a great night. We've had a great few nights of looking at stuff in space and some really cool objects actually. So one object we've been looking at a lot lately is Herschel's ray, or Herschel's pencil, or what's the other
yeah,
thing?
that's very cool. Yeah,
Yeah, which
these
is a
are.
supernova remnant in Volans.
Yeah.
Yeah, up in the sky, pretty close to the False Cross. You
Does
know
look
where that
like a
is?
pencil.
It does.
Yeah.
It does a little bit,
Yeah.
yeah.
It's a pointy thing.
And basically, it's just the remains of. So many years ago, a star blew up. And it sent a, you know, its shell of its material went out into space. So this is what we see now is sort of the remnant of part of that shell going into space. And that whole area of the sky, there's kind of a whole lot of that, which is really, really cool to look
And
at.
it's so cool to look at these things in the telescope, because it really, for me, it makes me really zen. I love looking, even if it's all the time I'm looking at the same thing, it doesn't matter. It's just such a peace that I get and happiness. It just makes me so happy when I look through the telescope and I see these terrible things, these remnants, these stars, these supernovae, these clusters that we're looking at. It's just absolutely magnificent. I don't think there's anything that I enjoy more than looking at all these ancient, worse than ancient
Yeah, well, like when you
things.
look at a galaxy, and of course in the eyepiece, which I think we've mentioned quite a few times, it's like a blurry blob, right? But what it is staggering. Like, you know, could
Yeah.
be half a trillion
And
stars.
Herschel's pencil literally looks like a pointy thing, like a pencil, literally. And it's made of gas. Like, this is how we see it, like a white thin pencil of cloud out there in space that is the remnant of a star that has exploded. And that star, when it exploded, made oxygen and calcium and iron, and all of the things in the periodic table up to iron were made. And so you think about it, and what it is, it's just something extraordinary. Somewhere, maybe on a star, on a planet in that region of space, there is a, who knows, tiny little aliens taking shape as we speak right now
Yeah,
from
from
those
the remains
chemical
of that,
elements.
from the
Yeah.
remains of that
It's just
starter.
absolutely incredible. And the other really cool thing that we've been looking at is that cluster of galaxies.
Yeah, so around a galaxy called NGC 3314, there's a group of galaxies. And when you look at that area, there's a couple of fairly bright stars. There's this kind of like line of about three or four galaxies that run between those two stars. But anyway, we use SLU to take a picture of that area just to see like how many galaxies are in there.
Yeah, I was going to say SLU is pretty amazing, isn't
Probably
it?
about
Nine.
20 galaxies all in that area.
Yeah.
And in the eyepiece in the telescope, we counted nine the other day. So that's pretty good. I mean, that's a
Yeah,
pretty power. That's
you
a
did. I
16-inch
saw like
telescope.
five, but I
Powerful.
didn't have my eyes adapted, so
Yeah.
that was. But yeah, SLU is pretty amazing because you can task it. It's a network of telescopes from around the world that take pictures and off the night sky. So you can be an armchair astronomer and use SLU, which we do, and
Well, I use the Australian telescope at Siding
that's so
Springs.
cool.
So they have a
That's very cool.
1 meter, is it 1 meter or 1/2 meter? I can't remember now. Maybe 1/2 meter actually. Telescope at Siding Springs in Aussie, and well, took 3 nights in a row to get it to work. But the first 2 nights they had clouds, so it didn't work out. But the third night, yeah, got this lovely picture of these galaxies. And of course, that's happened right when it's a new moon, so it looks fantastic. Well, anyway, that's all. I think we've run out of time now, so we better
Yeah.
say goodbye to everybody and
Well, one last thing. As of a few days ago, which is in a couple of days from when we record this, the European Space Agency celebrating 50 years since its inception. 50 years. European Space Agency is 50 years old. That's pretty amazing.
okay.
They launched to space the very famous song, The Blue Danube, which is 200 years old.
Now, when they launch the song, do they like launch the lyrics or
No, they're just playing it.
like?
They're playing it. They're actually launching, so they're sending it from a telescope in Spain to space. And then at the same time, there's this orchestra that is playing the song, but they are going to launch a pre-recorded one from the day before, from the rehearsals, just in case there are technical glitches and things. But how cool is that? So finally, we don't put out there in space silly stuff, but put the Blue Danube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hope the aliens like it.
Yeah. So we'll leave you with that.
Right. Clear skies, everyone.
Clear skies.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star
Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star Safari.